Okay, welcome back to Malachim Aleph, and we are learning Perek Gimel. The first half of Perek Gimel we learned last week, and that discussed the beginning of the Perek discussed HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to Shlomo HaMelech in a dream, and essentially asking him what what he wanted, what he could grant him, and Shlomo HaMelech asked for wisdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so super impressed with that request that he granted him the wisdom, and then he granted him all these other things also, Osher and Kavod, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, in the very end of the Pasuk Tesvav, which we ended with last week, that Shlomo wakes up, he realizes it's a dream, and he comes to Yerushalayim, and he makes a big party. Vayas Mishta L'chol Avodah. Vayas Mishta L'chol Avodah, he makes a big party. And I mentioned last week, I just noticed it when I was preparing this week, that there are those mafar. There's I believe it's a Gemara that learns from this pasuk. This is the source of making a seal. Ayas mishta lechol avada. The Shlomo Melech made a mishta. This is the source for making a seal. That because he got his chachma, he was kona chachma. So therefore, he made a party. He made a seal for everyone. Some say that he even finished because of his chachma. He was able to finish. I don't know if it was kolot or kula, whatever it was at that time. And therefore, he made a seal. So that's a nice source. Okay, now Pasuk Tazayin. This is a famous story that we're all familiar with, and this is the story of the two women who came to fight over the baby. Okay, and we'll learn about the story. We all know the basic story, but we'll learn the story and we'll learn some of the ideas behind the story that the Mefarshim share. Pasuk Tazayin. Oz Tavona. At this point, we have two women approach him. They're identified as Nashim Zonos. These were not women of ill repute. These were not women who were had families. Two women, they lived alone. They lived together. We'll see in a moment. And they come before the king. Now, we'll see that there's a little bit of a remez in these last words. We'll talk about that in a second. But both the Radak and the Malbim both say that the reason why this story is brought at this point is because this story really demonstrates the tremendous chachma that Shlomo HaMelech had. Right? Shlomo HaMelech was just granted chachma, and this story demonstrates that chachma. Now we'll see exactly how it demonstrates the chachma. We'll talk about that. But that's what both of these Mefarshim say, which is why we bring this story right now. Pasuk Yud Zayin. So one of the women comes and says, she's the first claimant or whatever the case might be. And she says, Bi Adoni, right? Please, my master, listen to my claim. Ani v'ha'isha hazos yoshvos b'vayis echad. I and this woman, we live in the same house. V'eleid ima b'vayis. And I gave birth in the house, right? With her. I mean, she's in the house, I'm in the house, I gave birth in the house. Okay? Pasuk Yudches. Vayhi bayom ha'shlishi lelidati. And it was 3 days after I gave birth. Vateled gam ha'isha hazos. And then she gave birth. So I gave birth first. 3 days later, she gives birth. Va'anachnu yachdov. We are together. In the house, alone, ein zar itanu babayis. There's no one else in the house with us. It's just us. Zulasi shtayim anachnu babayis. Except for the two of us. We're alone. We're alone in the house. We were roommates. The Balbim says that if you look, he's medayik in the psukim that they were roommates. They lived in the same room together. And they lived in the same room together, and there was no one else in the house. That was it. It was just the two of them. Just the two of them. Okay.
So no witnesses.
No witnesses. No one had any knowledge about this. No one knew from the outside what was going on. It was just the two of them. How they delivered a baby, I don't know. But they figured it out. Maybe each one delivered the other one, right? I don't know. Something like that. Okay. So far, so good. Mazel tov, right? Very nice. They both have a baby. Beautiful. Pasuk Yates. Vayomas ben Haisha Hazos Laila Asher Shachva Alav. So this woman, the claimant, the first claimant, comes and says, this woman's son died. He died at night. How did he die? Asher shachva alav. She slept on him. She suffocated him. Right? They were sleeping together in the bed. The baby was holding, but by the way, this is why doctors all say, right? Mothers should not sleep holding their babies, because chas v'shalom, you can have a tragedy. And that's exactly what she was claiming. She said she fell asleep, she was holding the baby, and she rolled over, she suffocated the baby, and the baby died. Now, it's clear, the Radak points out, that it's clear that she was saying this was the cause of death, right? It's not like the baby was sick, because if the baby was sick, people know about it. Right? So baby's sick, you know, you call people, you call a doctor, you tell other people, they daven for the baby, whatever the case is, you notify other people. So there was no sickness here, and that's why nobody knew what was going on. It was a fine, healthy baby. She just slept on the baby and suffocated the baby, and that's why the baby died. Okay. That's what she claims. That's Pasuk Yutet. Pasuk Chaf. Atokam besoch halayla. She gets up in the middle of the night. She takes my son from next to me. I'm sleeping the whole time. I didn't wake up. She takes my son and she puts my son in her bosom to sleep. And she takes the dead baby and she puts it in my bosom. That's what happened. I didn't notice. I was sleeping. Right? That's clear in the pasuk, says the Metzudas David. Now the Malbim points out, you know, we read the pasuk, we don't notice this, but the Malbim notices every word. So the Malbim notices that if you look at the pasukim, where were the babies located? Okay, so where is my baby located? Says the claimant, Vatikach es bini me etzli. What does etzli mean? Says the Malbim, next to me. I wasn't holding my baby. When I went to sleep, I'm not foolish. When I went to sleep, my baby was next to me. I wasn't holding it. It was in the crib next to me. Right? That's where the baby was. So my baby was safe. My baby could not have died from suffocation. Okay? Her baby was in her bosom. And that's why the baby died. And that's what she did. She woke up. She took my baby and she put it in her bosom. And then what did she do with the dead baby? She gave it to me. Hishkiva becheki. But that was, I woke up holding the baby. But I didn't go to sleep holding the baby. I went to sleep with the baby in the crib next to me. And I woke up holding the baby. Right? So how did that happen? Now again, theoretically, could she have woken up in the middle of the night and not realized maybe he was crying? She took the baby. It's possible. But she's saying that's not what happened. Right? Obviously, she framed me. Right? She's framing me. And she's taking the baby, which is dead, which he killed, and now she's putting it in my bosom to imply that I killed the baby. She framed me. That's not what happened. That's not where my baby was. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'akum baboker lehenik es bini. I wake up in the morning, and I go to nurse my baby. First thing a mother does in the morning with the baby, she nurses the baby. V'hinei meis. And the baby's dead. V'es bonein elav baboker. And I look closely at this baby in the morning, v'hine lo hoyavini asher yolodati. And this was not the baby that I delivered. This was not the baby. Okay, I paid attention to it. I looked closely. V'es bonein. I looked closely at the appearance of the baby. Now, the Malbim says that in this sentence, in this pasuk, she's coming to give a few reasons why she's correct. Number one, she says, I immediately saw that it wasn't my baby. You can't say that, because sometimes, you know, a person dies and their appearance changes. So maybe you could make the claim, really it was my baby. And the reason why I didn't recognize the baby is because the appearance changed after the baby died and the baby looked different. That's why I didn't recognize the baby. But she says you can't say that. Why? Because it was the first thing I did. Right away. V'akum baboker. And right away, immediately, I looked at the baby and saw that it wasn't my son. So there was no delay. Right? It's not like a day later, 2 days later, where the appearance can change. It was immediate. It was right then. I woke up and I looked and it wasn't my son. Also, says the Malbim, keep in mind, we know from the beginning of the story that there was a 2-day difference in age between the babies, right? One baby was born, or 3-day difference, and then 3 days later, the next baby was born. Now, says the Malbim, if you look at newborn babies, there's a big difference between a newborn baby that was just born that day and a baby that was born 3 days ago, right? Babies develop very quickly. So you could tell the difference between a 3-day old baby and a baby that was born that day. So she says, that's another reason why I knew it wasn't my son. My son was born 3 days before. This baby I knew it wasn't my son. This was a brand new baby. It wasn't a 3-day old baby. This was a brand new baby. So I knew this wasn't my, it's another reason why I knew it wasn't my son.
Maybe she said it was Etzli, but even when she wrote Betheka, is that he put her son's son?
Correct. That's what the Malbim says in the previous pasuk, 100%. Right, this baby wasn't where I left the baby. Yeah, exactly. Okay, another argument that she makes. What does she say? She says, "V'hine lohaya v'ni asher yaladati." Right? So her main argument is that this baby, the dead baby, is not my baby. Okay? Now, she's not saying, if you listen to her words carefully, says the Malbim, she's not saying, I know the live baby is mine. She doesn't say that. She says, I know that this baby is not mine. What's the difference? Because if she comes and says, hey, that live baby, that's my baby, says the Malbim, maybe the two babies looked alike. How do you know? You look at that baby, you say, that's my baby. Maybe the two babies looked alike. That's not a proof that it's your baby. But if you look at this baby and you say, I know this is not my baby, that's already a proof, right? To say, I recognize that one, okay, maybe they looked alike. But to say, I know this one is not my baby, that's already something to talk about. That's already a real proof. Okay, so that's another reason. And another reason, and furthermore, says the Malbim, no one could have switched the baby. You could say maybe somebody switched the baby. No one could have switched the baby. There was no one else in the house. So it must have been this woman. And also no one came from the outside. It's not like somebody came from the outside and switched the baby. So I know for sure that it's this woman's baby.
And that's brought up is I look closely.
Exactly. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Okay. So this is the end of claim taina number one. Right, the woman one number one. This was the end of her claim. Now comes the other woman. She's got to offer her rebuttal. And now the other woman comes and says, "Loki, b'niachai uvenei chames." It's not true. My son is the living son, and your son is the dead son. And this other one then retorts, goes back, "Loki." No, it's not true. Your son is the dead son, and my son is the live son. And they come and they speak their claims in front of the king. Now, what is Vatadaberna? Right? Well, what does that mean? So the Radak says it means that, well, first the Mitzvah Sevet says they were fighting. You know, what happened? The first one made her claim. Then the second one made her claim. And then the first one fought back, and then the second one fought back, and they're going back and forth in front of Shlomo. That's Vatadaberna. Right? They each make the claim, and then they're going back and forth fighting about their claim in front of the king. That's how the Mitzvah Sevet says. The Radak says they weren't just fighting and arguing in front of the king, but they were trying to strengthen their claims. Right? They weren't just yelling at each other, but each time somebody, one woman said one thing, the other woman said, you know, to counter it, she said something else to try to upstage the other woman. So they're arguing to strengthen their claims in front of the king.
Rabbi. Now,
yes.
Rabbi, it says that both that the woman were zenots. Does that show something about their character? Both of them or one of them?
No. I would think so. I don't think they're not the greatest of ladies here. Uh-huh. Right? So definitely. Now but that doesn't mean that I mean, obviously here one of them is telling the truth and one of them is lying.
Right.
So because
they
both tell those doesn't mean that neither one of them is telling the truth. One of them is still telling the truth. You just have to figure out which one.
Right.
Okay. So the Mitzvah Sevet also points out here that if you look at their claims, their claims are in the opposite order. The second woman, right? This passage starts off with the second woman talking. The second woman says, "Bini hachai uvenei chames." my son is the live son, and your son is the dead son. The Malbim points out, but how does the other woman respond? Low key, b'nei chameis uv'nei achai. She focuses first on your son is the dead son, and my son is the live son. Okay. So, and every time the Malbim points out, every time she makes her argument, that's her argument. That's her order. B'nei chameis uv'nei achai. That's her focus. This dead son is not mine, is yours. This dead son is yours. And that's her main focus. And the Malbim says also that tipped off David, that tipped off Shlomo that this woman is the one telling the truth. She's not focusing as much B'nei Hachai. She's focusing on B'nei Chameis. This son is not mine. This son is your son. Right? This son is not mine. As opposed to B'nei Hameis, focusing on me. I want the live son. Right? That's not this woman's focus. B'nei Chameis. Right? It's a different focus. And says the Malbim, that tipped off David. That tipped off Shlomo that she was the correct, that she was the real mother. Now, Vayomer HaMelech. So now the king comes, and now it's Shlomo's turn to talk. Vayomer HaMelech, and so Shlomo says, Zos omeres zebni achayu v'nei chameis. This one is saying, and it's referring to the second woman, right? That this is the boy, the live boy is mine, and the dead son is yours. And the other woman is saying, Loki ki b'nei chameis u'b'nei achai. No, your son is the dead son, and my son is the live son. Okay, now why is he repeating this? Right. So Pashup Shalom and Tzudas David says that the Shlomo is basically telling them, listen, ladies, stop arguing. Right. We have a very simple question here. Right. You know, they're going back and forth. Enough with the back and forth. It's very simple. You're claiming this and you're claiming that, and we got to figure out who's right. That's how the Tzudas David says. That's Pashup Shalom. But the Drash, which is quoted by the Radak, it's based on the Yerushalmi, a lot of the Mefarshim mention it, is that we learn from here that a Dayan is obligated to review the claims of the two litigants before he paskens. We see that from here, says the Yerushalmi. Kushlom HaMelech went over the claims of these two litigants before he paskens. Why does a Dayan have to go over the claims of the two litigants before he paskens? To be clear, and to make sure that the litigants are confident that the Dayan understood their claims. Because otherwise, the Dayan can make up sack, and then one of the litigants will say, well, he didn't really understand what I was saying, right? The Dayan didn't really understand. He didn't really listen carefully. He didn't really understand. He didn't pay attention. And that's why he passed it against him. So here, if a Dayan reviews the claims clearly of both litigants, and the litigants nod their heads, you know, they hear they agree, so they know that the Dayan heard them out. They know the Dayan understood what they were saying. And now the Dayan makes his decision. Okay, now it's binding. I have to go with the Dayan's decision because he understood what I was saying. And he's still paskin against me, one of them. So that's how the Yerushalmi learns. Now here's the famous psak of Shlomo HaMelech. Vayomer HaMelech kechuli charev. So Shlomo says, bring me a sword. And they bring the king the sword. Cut this live baby in half. And give half to one woman and half to the other woman. Oh, famous psak. Okay, now we'll discuss this in a minute. And then the famous response, we all know. And the woman who was the real mother spoke up and said to the king, Ki nichmiru rachameha al b'no. Her mercy overcame her. Her mercy, she wanted to be right, but her mercy for her son overcame her. And she said, Vatomer bi adoni, please, tenula es hayalud hachai. Just give it to her. Give her the baby. Give her the baby that's alive. The Hameis al Tmisuhu, and please don't kill him. Okay? That's what she says. That's what the real mother says. The Zosomeres, and what does the other woman say? No. Gamli gamloch lo yihyeh kizoru. Neither one of us should get this baby. Cut the baby in half, like Shlomo say. Okay? So here we see already, it's clear now who's the real mother. And based on this, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of these, some of the ideas here. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayan HaMelech Vayomer Tenu Lo es hayalur achai. So Shlomo turns and he says, give the live baby to this woman, meaning the woman who said, give it to her, give it up. Right? The woman who gave up the baby, give her the baby. The hameis lo timisu, do not kill the baby. He imo. This is the true mother. This is the true mother. Pashup shot is that the fact that this woman had mercy on the child, whereas the other woman did not, that proves that this was the true mother, and that's what he's concluding. He imo. He imo. The Radak does quote a medrash that he imo is not the words. Those are not the words of Shlomo HaMelech. Those are the words of Abbas Kol. That after Shlomo paskins, Abbas Kol came out and said, correct, he imo. And the Abbas Kol confirmed that Shlomo HaMelech was correct and that this was his wisdom prevailed and this was the correct psak. Vayishmu kol Yisrael es hamishpat asher shafat HaMelech. Everyone hears about this, right? It spreads like wildfire. It was on all the WhatsApp chats, right? It went very quickly, forwarded many times, right? Everybody heard about it. Vayiru mipnei HaMelech. And people were afraid, right? Vayiru, literally, people were, I mean, you could say they were in awe, right? Sometimes yiru can mean awe, but the Mefarshim here understand, the Radak and the Mitzudas of it, that people were actually afraid to do things wrong. Why? Hira'u ki chachmas elokim bekirbo. Because they realized this king, Shlomo HaMelech, he's not just judging with his seichel. This is a chachmas elokim. He has a divine wisdom here, and through his divine wisdom, that's how he's judging these cases, and that's how he's uncovering the true mishpat. And people realized he's able to figure things out that no one else can figure out. He was able to uncover what was really going on in the hearts and minds of these women. Nobody else would have been able to do that. So now everybody's thinking to themselves, I can't do anything wrong, because if I do something wrong, I'm going to try to cover it up. He's going to find out. He's going to figure it out, and I'm going to get punished. Right? So people literally were afraid to do things wrong because of Shlomo's judgment ability. That's what people were scared of. Okay. Now, let's back up a little and let's talk about some of the ideas here. So many of the Mefarshim point out that Shlomo HaMelech did not suggest this to figure out and determine who was correct. Many of the Mefarshim understand that Shlomo HaMelech already knew who was correct beforehand. Okay, and in fact, to strengthen it, there's a tshuva of the Radvaz. There's a lot of different sources that talk about this. That talk about this story. So there's a tshuva of the Radvaz who asks, you know, what's the grois of chachma here? Oh, this is the example of Shlomo HaMelech that he's a chacham kol adam. He says there are plenty of very wise people who could have figured out a very similar type of strategy, you know, to figure out the MS. So what was such a chachma of a Shlomo HaMelech? This was the chachma. Other people could have done this also. That's his question. He does make one suggestion that we learned how last week. We learned how old was Shlomo? 12. Right? He was 12 years old. So there are those that say that what demonstrated his chachma was not the fact that this psak per se wasn't, you know, incredibly wise, but it was incredibly wise for a 12-year-old. So that's one approach that he quotes. He doesn't really go with that in the end. But that's one approach that he quotes. That you know, the fact that a 12-year-old can figure this is like a lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos. This is like a Doogie Howser. You know, this was like a, you know, so, you know, this was, there was no way that a regular person could figure this out. A regular 12-year-old can figure this out. That's one approach that he quotes. But otherwise he says that, and other mefarshim say this also, that really he figured this out beforehand. He figured this out beforehand. In fact, if you go back to Pasuk Tes Zayin, the first Pasuk we started with tonight, so it says at the end of the Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk is, Oz Tavona Shtayim Nashim Zonos, these two women came before him, and then the Pasuk says, Vata'amodna Lefanos, they stood before him. We just said, Tavona, Oz Tavona, right? They just came, Al HaMelech. So why is the Pasuk now repeating at the end, Vata'amodna Lefanos? So the Radvaz suggests that maybe Vata'amodna Lefanos means that they were standing there for a while, And David and Shlomo, I keep saying David because I'm so used to saying David. We've been saying David for the last several months. Shlomo Amelech, I have to get used to saying Shlomo Amelech. Shlomo Amelech was able to look at these women and he figured out right away who was correct. Why? He says two things. Number one, he looked at the women and he looked at the baby. And the baby, the live baby was there. That's what Shlomo said, right? Bring me a sword. Let's cut the baby. The live baby was there. He looked at the baby and he was able to see who the baby resembled more. So that's one thing that he picked up on. And he said this baby resembles that woman more. So number one, it makes more sense that she would be the one that she would be the correct mother. Number one. Number two, he says, he also perhaps figured out that personality-wise, this woman was a little bit quicker and more limber than the other woman. And Shlomo's thinking to himself, the chances that this woman would have fallen asleep and suffocated her baby, slept on the baby, rolled over, whatever, and suffocated the baby, the chances are that it was the other woman who did that. It doesn't make sense that this woman, the way that she's behaving, the way that she's acting, it just doesn't add up that she would do that. So that's two things that he already had figured out from before. Okay, good. He doesn't say that, but that's good from a woman's perspective, right? Maybe she looked better. She had a few more days to recover from having the baby, right? So maybe she was really, but that would just tell you, but that wouldn't tell you which baby was which, right? But that's still that would only prove that she was the one who had the baby first. But that they were agreeing about. They weren't fighting about who had the baby first. They were fighting about which baby was which, right? So I don't know that would necessarily help. Okay. Oh, very good. Why do the sword? Okay, why do the sword? So what the Mefarshim say here, and the many Mefarshim say this, that basically. The reason why Shlomo did this was not to figure out who was correct, because he already knew who was correct. But he did it, number one, to confirm, right? To confirm what he thought, number one. And number two, also to demonstrate to everybody else. Because if he would have just come and said, listen, I think that this is the mother, even if he would have given his reasons for thinking that, maybe not everybody else would have been so convinced, right? He had the chachma to figure it out. Not everybody else did. They wouldn't have been so convinced necessarily. So he had to do something that demonstrated clearly that this was the mother for everybody else standing there so everybody else could see, oh, yeah, the king is correct, right? That this is clear that the king is correct. So that's what some of the Mefarshim say, that he did it to demonstrate. Yeah.
Was just created in order that the Ilam should see that.
That's what some say. It wasn't to prove that he was correct because he already knew he was correct.
So Hashem gave it to him, and that's it. So he created a Maisa like this in order that everyone around him should know that he has. Yes, correct. To show everyone
that this was the Chachma. Yeah, exactly. Now there's an Akedas Yitzchak who has a very interesting question, and he says, you know, what was this Psak of David? What was the psak of Shlomo? Split the baby. So he says it doesn't make sense. We're supposed to split the baby, right? So split the baby. We have a concept of yachloku in Jewish law, right? There are cases, but we have a concept of pshara. Pshara is compromise, right? But compromise doesn't always mean split the item. But we have a concept of yachloku. The Mishnah in Shnayim Ochsim Batalis in Bava Metzia says there is a case of yachloku. What's the case of yachloku? If you have two people that are holding on to an item, right? They're both holding on to it, and there's no way to tell who's the muchzak here, right? There's no way to tell. So you say yachloku. But says the Akedas Yitzchak, you split it. Yeah, if they have a garment, for example. Two people are coming to basin, they're both holding on to the garment. This one says it's mine, this one says it's mine. There's no way to verify. Right, there's no way to figure out who's the Zeus. So the psak is we split it. Yachloku. There's no way to determine. You're both holding it. You're both claiming. Now there is a concept in halacha which is also important of that Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, which means that if I want to get something from you, I'm claiming you owe me $100. You have the $100. It's in your wallet. I'm saying my claim is that you owe it to me. So what's the rule? The halacha is that I can't get that $100 unless I prove that it's coming to me. Because if I don't prove it, if I can't prove it, so then it stays in your wallet. It's in your wallet currently. It's right now in your wallet. So the only way I can get it out of your possession is by proving that it's coming to me. So says the Akedas Yitzchak, who had the baby here? One of these women was holding the baby, right? The second woman. The first woman comes in and says, the baby's really mine, right? But she wasn't holding the baby. The other woman's holding the baby. So who's muchtak in the baby? Who has possession of the baby right now? The other woman. So the other woman really has possession of the baby. So that's the question, right? Why? How come Shlomo should have paskined? Forget all the chachma. Shlomo should have paskined like the din. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. She's holding the baby. You want to say the baby's yours? Prove it. You got to prove it. You can't just come with a claim that you make up, you know, a story that she switched in the middle of the night. Okay, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you're telling the truth, maybe not. You got to prove it. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Right. So why don't we say that? Why don't we say that? So one interesting approach is that in Pasuk Chavav, after Shlomo gave his psak to split the baby, so the real mother says, no, don't, just give it to her. And the fake mother, what does she say? Yes, split the baby. Says the Radvaz, as soon as she said that, she lost her chazaka. If you say split a baby, the fact that you're holding the baby no longer demonstrates that you're muchzak, that you're in some sort of possession of this baby. Why? Because a person holding a baby doesn't want to cut a baby in it. You say gzoru, you say split the baby, you lose your chazaka. You just lost your chazaka, and now the fact that you're holding this baby is meaningless. So that's interesting approach of the Radvaz, that the fact that she was muchzak, that she was holding on to the baby, did not mean anything. Another approach, though, of the Akidas Yitzchak, he says he deals with the same question. This one woman is muchzak; she's holding on to the baby, right? So there, the Akidas Yitzchak says yes, but the other woman's claim was better. Okay, meaning the first woman who spoke, the first claimant, her claim was better. Why was her claim better? Because what she's saying, that really this baby is mine. Right? Really, this baby is mine. Now, if the baby is not hers, why would she want another baby? Akedas Yitzchak says, some of the Mepharshim say this, that a woman, she doesn't want Stama baby. She wants her baby. So if she doesn't have the baby right now, and she's coming and saying, this is my baby, I want that baby, it's my baby, right? A woman doesn't want someone else's baby to nurse. That wouldn't make her feel better. Rachmana litzlan, a woman's baby dies. It's going to make her feel better if she takes someone else's baby. It's not going to make her feel better. She doesn't want someone else's baby. She wants her baby. So the fact that she was claiming this baby that the other woman is holding is really mine and I want it, right? He says her claim was stronger. Her claim was stronger. Why would a woman say that? Why would a woman try to take another person's baby? It doesn't make any sense, right? Wouldn't make her feel better. And therefore he says that here, this is the fact that this is considered like they were both holding on to the talus. Like that Mishnah. Because one woman is muchzak, she's holding the baby. She's in possession of the baby, that's one. This other woman has a stronger claim. So one woman has physical possession. One woman has a stronger claim. So that's like Shnayim Ochsim Batalis. They both have a claim. One has a physical claim, and one has a better verbal claim. Right? Or a better intellectual claim to this baby. So therefore, that's why Shlomo paskin gizoru. That's why he paskin split the baby. That's based on that psak of Yachlok. Now again, obviously he never intended that the baby should actually be sliced in half, right? That wasn't the Akedah Yitzchak is suggesting that the psak is really based on that idea. The psak is really based on that idea. Right. Okay, I hear it. But that's the assumption of the Mepharshim here, that it wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't be asking for this other baby if it wasn't hers. That's why her claim was stronger. Which also, some of the Mefarshim also say, that also indicated to Shlomo more that she was correct. Because if she was saying this, you know, it makes sense. It's more logical that she was correct.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to believe that two women were fighting over a baby and one woman would actually say, cut the baby and kill the baby, really. How could she do that if she was claiming that it was her baby? Like, it's mind-boggling.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Someone recognized from there that she must be the fake mother. She must not be the mother. She was the real mother.
Right.
So the fact that she was saying it means she's not the real mother. She's not the real mother. You know? Okay. Now, it's interesting. The Mefarshim point out that that, you know, what was the intention here? You have this second woman, right? The fake mother. That she stole the baby. That's what happened. She stole the baby in the middle of the night. The story was true, right? She stole the baby in the middle of the night. So how did that, you know, why did she do that? How'd that happen? So the Mitzudas David explains that he also works with this idea that a woman is not, she doesn't gain anything by stealing a baby, right? If her baby, Rachmanu Litzlan, a woman loses a baby, she's not going to gain anything by stealing someone else's baby, nursing someone else's baby. It's not going to make her feel better. So the whole intention to steal a baby was only that the other woman, right, her baby died. The other woman shouldn't be happy, right, that she has a baby and I don't. So this way I'll take her baby. So that's why this woman agreed the baby should die. Because if the baby dies, so then she won't be happy, right? Her whole intention in stealing the baby was so that I'm devastated because my baby died. Now this woman's going to be happy because she has the baby and I don't. So that's why she took it. And she was happy when Shlomo said to kill the baby. She was happy when he said kill the baby. Because he said, perfect, this is going to accomplish my goal. My goal is that I don't have a baby. She also shouldn't have a baby. So if she also doesn't have a baby, she won't be happy because of my sadness. So that's why that was the intention behind this idea, and that's why she was okay with it at the end of the day. Now at the end of the day, we see that this really demonstrates Shlomo's chachma, and it's interesting that there's a tshuva of the Rush. Two tshuvas of the Rush, actually, in two places, he mentions this, that we find a concept in halacha of what we call an umdana demuchach. What's an umdana demuchach? Where sometimes we make judgments based on something that's very clear, even though it might seem like circumstantial. Right? Normally we say you need two edim, you always need to find, you know, you always need to have two witnesses and have absolute verification that something took place. But there are cases in the Gemara where we have an umdana demuchach, where it's something that's clear, right? That it's clear that this is the way, that this is the truth, not because we have two witnesses that say such a thing, but just because, you know, it's clear from the facts, it's clear from the circumstantial evidence that this is the case. And the Rush says in two places, he says that the source of the chachmei ha-gemara, of relying on umdana demuchach, the davar zeh, yesh lo ikar midivrei ha-kabbalah, it says it comes from, not Kabbalah meaning like the Zohar, he says Kabbalah meaning the Navi, me'av l'chachamim, meaning Shlomo HaMelech, asher tziva litein lo hayel rachai. The Shlomo who passed in this way, there was no edim here, there were no witnesses, there were no two witnesses that came and said, this baby goes to this woman, that wasn't the case. This was a case of something like an umdana demuchach. But at the bottom line, we see that this was the incredible chachma of Shlomo, exactly what the chachma was, you know, whether the chachma was to figure out this strategy or whether the chachma was figuring it out in advance and just using this strategy to show the MS. But we see the incredible chachma of Shlomo HaMelech, and that's what we see from this parak. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, I think, stay tuned. I think we're going to have a regular shir, and then maybe we'll do a Pesach shir the following week, I think, unless we do a Pesach shir next week. Also, not sure yet. But stay tuned, and we'll figure that out. Okay, good night. Thank you for coming. Good night, Aaron.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much. Good night, Rabbi.